It is the State Capitol Report on the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We discuss legislative priorities with Republican Representative David Steffen of Green Bay. And you have a line as we dig into his proposal to reduce income taxes by nearly $3 billion over 2 years. Call in with a question, share comments, 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. David Steffen represents District 4 in the State Assembly. Representative Steffen, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you for having me on. Thank you.
Yes. So the Legislative Fiscal Bureau estimates your proposal to lower the state's third income tax bracket from 5.3% to 4.4%. That would save the average filer $772. What would a tax savings of that amount mean for the average Wisconsin taxpayer?
Well, think about all the additional expenses that the middle class family or a fixed income retiree will able to address between the rising costs of heating, housing, food costs. All those things have been absolutely crushing our middle class, in particular our middle class families and our fixed income retirees. So by doing a permanent tax cut every single year, $772 or more to the average taxpayer is one way to get more money in their pocket so that they can make those decisions to absorb this crushing inflation we're feeling.
So why focus on the income tax bracket that includes individuals earning about $27,000 up to $300,000?
Yeah, that is our largest bracket, as you can imagine. It encompasses the vast majority of taxpayers, 1.7 million of them, actually. And so anywhere from $9 an hour, someone who's making $9 an hour will feel the benefit all the way up to, as you mentioned, $300,000. So that's the width, the breadth, the scope of that particular bracket. And those are, you know, our lower working class, as well as our upper middle class. And so it's the broadest amount. We can provide a 15% cut in taxes for those individuals. Secondarily, the governor made it clear during his budget decisions that he did not want any money going to the top earners. So those who are making above $304,000. So in our last plan, had 77% of the tax benefit going to this middle class bracket. We now have it designed so 100% of the tax break, the income tax break, goes entirely to that middle class bracket.
People who make hundreds of thousands of dollars a year, the wealthy, does this return money to Wisconsinites who simply don't need the tax break?
Well, again, there's no money that'll be going to that top tax bracket, so above $300,000. But that's our bracket. It goes from, again, $9 an hour up to $300,000 an hour, and $300,000 a year. And, you know, those are people who are supporting our economy. There are our teachers, our firefighters, our child care workers, so as well as retirees. So it is absolutely appropriate that we give a 15% income tax cut to those people. We have this amount of surplus. Let's be clear. This isn't our money. We've already set up our budget for the next 2 years. We still have $4 billion left in the bank account, earning $1 million a month in interest. And it's their money. It is the people's money. They need it badly now in this inflationary environment. And so doing a permanent tax cut to get it back to them makes the most sense.
We're talking about a Republican state tax cut plan with its author, Representative David Steffen of Green Bay, is here. You can join in with your questions, your comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. Representative, this summer, Governor Tony Evers vetoed a similar tax cut proposal in the state budget, as you made mention, and Evers called this renewed push irresponsible and vowed to veto it as well. Does the proposal have enough support among Republicans and Democrats to override a veto by the governor?
Well, it is a bipartisan. It has received bipartisan votes already. And so I'm hoping that'll continue through the process beginning on Tuesday when it is on the floor of the State Assembly. Now, that quote you provided from Governor Evers, you have to read the entire thing because he said it's irresponsible because we can't do both the tax cut and more spending. And so, we're not planning on doing any more spending of the magnitude he's looking at. We just completed our state budget for the next 2 years. We completed that just 90 days ago. And so we're not going to be spending those billions of dollars. And so let's give it back to the people who overpaid the government. And it's their surplus. Let's return it.
Your plan would commit much of the state's projected $4 billion budget surplus. Why cut taxes rather than use this money to fund public services?
Well, first of all, it's their money. It was an overpayment. It should go back to them. Two, when we give money to the central planners in Madison, we rarely get what we expect. The money starts at a certain point. It bounces around like a Plinko chip on the prices right through the process. Bureaucrats take their bite. And at the end of the day, no one really is sure what benefit they got. Additionally, the scope of problems that have been generated through the inflationary environment we have are across the board. So to pinpoint a specific industry, a specific type of work or whatever it may be, is very much challenging to do in this regard. Additionally, let's be clear. We did an 11.7% increase already in state spending with this budget. So we have juiced every different entity that's currently funded through state government. They've all received significant increases as a part of this in the budget, but now there's still surplus. So let's get it back to the people. They know best how to spend their money for the issues and needs that they have.
Let's bring on a call now. Crash joining us from Milwaukee. Crash, hi. What would you like to bring up?
I would like to respectfully disagree with the representative. I make about $55,000-$60,000 a year, and I own my own business. And we've already spent the money, so the state has it. We've budgeted for groceries and our mortgages and our car payments already. We should use that money on things that improve the lives of taxpayers, but taxpayers can't pay for on our own. Things like lead remediation for the drinking water supply, or environmental cleanup, or the schools that need more funding.
Crash, thank you for the call. And let's go to another caller, Lisa in Madison. Lisa, hi.
Hi. Well, I would say my family is one of those that's at the upper end of that bracket, and we don't need the tax cut. We're one of the only developed countries in the world that do not offer child care. $700 is going to do nothing to offset the exorbitant cost of child care that families that really need the help need that. I would like to see it go into there. Lack of child care is really hurting our economy. No, we don't need the tax cut.
Lisa, thank you for the call. Representative Stefan, what would you say to callers like Crash and Lisa?
Well, thank you. First of all, thank you for your callers, to your callers. So first of all, to Crash, as it relates to the lead remediation, we have funding, both state and federal, that is going to take care of that 100% between our budget as well as money that came from the federal government. Have done a tremendous investment in increase for environmental protection. Our waters have never been cleaner. Our air has never been cleaner here in Wisconsin. And as it relates to education, we just did a $1 billion increase. And that's after doing a $700 million last budget, $600 million the year before. So, and the governor just guaranteed 402 years of increases into the future. Our schools are very well funded. As it relates to childcare, absolutely. That is an industry that has been hit most abruptly because the pandemic funding that they were receiving, extra money they were receiving from the federal government, just ran out. But here's a challenge. Which businesses do not deserve additional money? All of them are struggling, whether it's a Hardee's, a Holiday Inn, whether it's your a hospital or it's a nursing home. All of them are struggling with getting workers. All of them are dealing with inflationary impacts. And, you know, it becomes quite an issue if we have to fund every single private business through subsidies. So getting money back to the people so that they can make their choices is by far the best way to make sure everyone has the ability to control how they're going to be spending their money.
And Jane in Menominee has a question. Jane, hi, go ahead. What is the question?
Yes, my question is, I thought some of the surplus was leftover funds from some of the COVID relief programs that we've witnessed through the pandemic. So I'd like that clarified. if you could. And second, I live in an area that still has some dead spots for the internet and broadband. And I know that Governor Evers asked for more money, and I know that you guys trimmed it down. And I will tell you, it's unthinkable that people cannot get the internet at their homes. That should have been funded so every single person. And I even
Jane, I want to just jump in here and allow Representative Stephan to respond. First, on federal funds from the pandemic buoying the state budget, Representative.
Yeah, thank you. So there was a tremendous amount of money that was billions of dollars that during the pandemic response period, the government spent trillions of money and provided it directly to governors for them to spend as they see fit. And that's, to be honest, that's part of why we're dealing with this hyperinflation environment that is causing all costs, including childcare and everything else, to go up. As it relates to the broadband question, great question. I'm the chairman of the Energy and Utilities question, and I'm so glad to get this call because there, a couple months ago, we finally got the money that we were looking for to help provide 98% of Wisconsin residents and businesses will get broadband service in the next few years. Over $1.1 billion will be spent to make this possible. So, Jane, hold tight. The cavalry is coming in the next few years. 98% of Wisconsin businesses and residents will have broadband.
Representative David Stephan with us, Green Bay Republican, as we discuss taxes and legislation circulating at the Capitol. Call in with a question. Share your perspective. 800-642-1234. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. It is the State Capitol Report on the Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. We explore the legislative priorities of Republican Representative David Stephan of Green Bay to reduce income taxes, as we've been talking about, and expand retirement income exemptions, which is where we go next. You can be part of this discussion. 800-642-1234. Call in with a question. Add your thoughts. Email ideas at WPR.org. Representative, your plan would cut taxes on retirement income by exempting the first $100,000 from an individual's retirement income. Also exempt from state taxes would be the first $150,000 from the income of a couple who is 67 or older. Why include this proposal in the bill?
Well, this, as well as the other, has a series of benefits. Not only does it put immediate money back into people's hands, and I can tell you, having gone door to door and spoke with retirees, is that this, the inflationary impacts that we have right now have been substantially and dramatically impacting that demographic. They have a fixed amount of income that they get from their pension, they get from their 401k, and it's very difficult for them to absorb the housing costs, the food increases, the fuel costs, heating costs that have gone up above what they are receiving in terms of their retirement benefits. So by giving them some extra money in their pocket, they're able to absorb that that change. So, and the other thing that comes with all of these is that the states that have lower tax rates attract workers. We are in an extreme deficit in our workforce situation, and we need to have an environment where we are competitive with our neighbors. And for example, Illinois has tax-free retirement. I want to make sure that we aren't losing people to Illinois because of that difference in benefit for our retirees.
Would the retirement income exemption from state taxation, would it help people on both fixed incomes as well as people in their highest earning years of work?
Well, once someone turns 67, the first $100,000 for an individual, $150 for a couple, is tax exempt. So it's all something that benefits them throughout that process. We want people to come to Wisconsin, live here, work here during their highest years. So once they retire, they they have this benefit. And so this is a great opportunity to provide that. It's substantial. And for those who are our fixed income seniors, they deserve this extra money. It makes us more competitive, and it's the right thing to do.
Wisconsin's demographics, though, they're changing. Our state is trending older, as demographers have told us. Does your plan take that into account?
Absolutely. So that's part of the factors that are part of this that the Legislative Fiscal Bureau does, is they take into account all the trends. And yes, we are becoming a grayer state by attracting workers through more competitive, attractive tax rates is one of the ways that we can slow that curve. And so this has more than putting money in people's pockets. It's also a way to attract people to come here, work here in their highest earning years.
Do you think we would like rival Florida and other states that don't tax your retirement income for retirees?
Well, you know, those are some of the ones that have the most number of workers coming to their place. So you mentioned it, Texas, Florida. Those are states that are absolutely growing, not just with retirees, but with workers in general. And the states that have the least competitive tax environment are the ones that are losing people. California, New York, New Jersey. People are moving out of those states. Their workers are leaving those states, and because of that environment. And I don't want Wisconsin to be like that. I want us to be competitive so that we can attract and retain workers who ultimately become retirees.
Talking about a Republican tax cut plan with its author, State Representative David Steffen of Green Bay, is with us. You can join in with your questions and your comments at 800-642-1234, email ideas at WPR.org. In July, you co-authored the Tiny Tot tax cut. The bill would eliminate Wisconsin's sales and use taxes on dozens of common baby supplies and childcare products. Where is that bill currently in the legislative process?
Well, thank you for bringing that up. So that does eliminate the taxes on many of the products that every family uses during those first few years of being a parent. And it has yet to have a hearing. I'm still optimistic about it, but I can tell you the legislature has really kind of rallied around and behind my proposal relating to a 15% middle class tax cut in the tax-free retirement package. So we'll see if we can make that through, but we want to find ways to help families. And certainly that's one of the ways that we can do it, by just allowing people to save a little more money at the cash register.
And what types of products would be tax exempt? Can you give us some examples?
Car seats, baby bottles, bouncers, cribs, strollers. Think of just about any product that for a two-year-old or younger that you would need. Diapers. Those are the types of things that would be exempt.
Let's bring on another call. Annalisa joining us from Green Bay. From Green Bay. Annalisa, hi.
Good morning. Representative Steffen. I am one of your constituents. You mentioned that we need workers, but then you don't want to fund child care. I don't get it, because child care frees women to work, and without it, they are unable to, without it, they're unable to leave home. And I would stress good child care is vital for our children. That's my comment. Thank you.
Thank you, Annalisa. Go ahead, Representative Steffen.
Yeah, well, certainly child care is incredibly important. And the reason why this has really kind of pushed itself to the front of the newspapers and discussion is because this massive federal subsidy, pandemic subsidy, just ran out. And so we have this situation where the government was in enormous amounts, millions and millions of dollars to larger child care facilities is now gone. And that was something when it started 3 years ago, we made it clear, listen, you know, all this federal money that's coming in, do not expect that we're going to be able to maintain that. We, unlike the federal government, one, cannot run a deficit. And two, we can't print money. So the federal government has these tools that they can do that we cannot. Now, let's be clear. The child care proposals that, you know, Evers and others have proposed, they only benefit those who have child care through a larger facility. And because it's child care facility based, it means for children 0 to 5. Well, what about the parent who has a 6-year-old, an 8-year-old, and a 15-year-old? Well, they have child care expenses as well. They're different, but they still have them. And so they are left out in this situation under the governor's proposal and those that the people are referencing. So how about we give every family, every parent money back, regardless of how they choose to raise their children, whether it's with a neighbor or a relative, or their kids have aged out of the standard daycare facility. Right. So every family needs the benefit, and that's why it makes sense to make it across the board.
Representative Stephan, thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
Representative David Stephan, a Green Bay Republican, represents District 4 in the Assembly. It's a State Capitol Report. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.